Ingram.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy Williams is here. Always glad he's here. So, Sandy, before we went to break, you were telling us the story about, you know, Milwaukee and the history of it.
Yeah, gather around the fire.
Yeah. It's really
well, it is interesting. So Milwaukee was booming in the early 1900s and even the late 1800s. It became the focus of a great deal of real estate speculation. And a lot of the names that we're familiar with now, Kilbourne and all these people, actually came from the East and came out to Milwaukee to get involved in land speculation. And the reason in the late 1800s that Milwaukee was such a hotbed was that because of the Milwaukee Harbor. And the Milwaukee Harbor was the seaport that was used move grain. Okay, and we had the National Grain Exchange here in Milwaukee. So really, Milwaukee was growing and was the center of activity because of the Great Plains. So that the transportation of the wheat would come from the West, from Minnesota and the Dakotas, and it would move through Wisconsin to get to the nearest harbor, essentially, and the nearest good harbor was Milwaukee's. And really it took the railroad, and it took about 50 years of the railroad to cause Chicago to supplant Milwaukee. Chicago is not a natural harbor, but it is the natural focal point for cross-country railroad, right? I mean, railroads had to take a 90-mile jigger to the north to come to Milwaukee, but they could go straight from east to west by going through Chicago, and they can go north to south as well. So Chicago ended up becoming a very central transfer point for the railroads.
So I wondered why Milwaukee, her railroads were, I mean, another one of the strong parts of our history. And I know, you know, when I worked at A.O. Smith, back behind A.O. Smith, the railroad tracks that were there would go all the way down to the harbor.
Well, one of the biggest, most successful freight hauling railroads in the country was the Milwaukee Road, right?
I mean, right.
Milwaukee was very much a center of commerce because it was a center for agrarian commerce, transferring to the ports, and then we had all these manufacturers in Milwaukee, and so yeah.
So,
and going from Chicago to the Northwest, those trains all came north and then west from Milwaukee.
So the manufacturers came also because of our railroads or the fact. So why did they choose here? I mean,
it's interesting because we had some hotbeds of various things. Small combustion engines, okay? We had Alice Chalmers.
Briggs and Stratton.
Briggs and Stratton. But the Kohler Corporation, Tecumseh Motors, which had big manufacturing here, Outboard Marine.
Yes.
All of these companies were basically making small combustion engines. There was die casting. And so die casting was a center for tool and die manufacturing.
Right.
And those things were all made with die casting methods. So I suspect that we got into a bunch of businesses because of the center here for the tool and die industry, which was because of our European heritage and the places in Europe, the German heritage, where tool and die was a very robust business.
And the fact that we were supplying the country at the time with all of these different things. I mean, it wasn't just we were doing this locally.
No, well, we got very big in supplying parts to the automobile industry. So I suppose that was because we could transport the things on the Great Lakes to Detroit. But we were a very important place for automobile parts manufacturing. And some of the manufacturers of automobiles who wanted to integrate all of these parts within the business. So we had like Delco, which was the making the electronic parts for AC Delco for General Motors.
I mean, American
and
Motors.
We had American Motors,
right?
And they were big. They were big in Kenosha and in Milwaukee. They made their engines in Kenosha,
right.
I think, and they built cars here in Milwaukee. So yeah, it's just Milwaukee was a hotbed, and it's a little bit out of the way geographically because of the lake, and then Chicago to the south, but And so that probably cast a shadow on how robust it had continued to grow. I mean, Chicago, we were bigger than Chicago in the late 1800s, and then the fire came along and Chicago limped. And but ever since then, Chicago has grown at a much, much greater clip.
So when I was a kid, Milwaukee was like the 16th largest city, or?
Well, it was bigger than that. In 1953, I think 53 was the year the Braves came to Milwaukee. And Milwaukee and Pittsburgh used to vie with one another to be the 10th or 11th biggest.
Well, Pittsburgh had to steal.
Yeah. But we in Pittsburgh were either 10th or 11th biggest.
Wow.
And now we're like 31st or
something. Yeah, I mean, that's...
And almost every city that has passed us in size was south of the Mason-Dixon line and weren't big cities. So cities like San Antonio and even Dallas and Phoenix and all of these cities, San Diego, all of these cities were smaller than Milwaukee in 1953.
So it explains then when you're downtown Milwaukee, the old part of downtown Milwaukee, those opulent buildings that were built, that some of them are still being utilized, because at the time there was so much money in Milwaukee.
Well, I think that also accounts for the beautiful houses in the Gold Coast, and the beautiful houses near downtown area, and down in Bayview and the various places out in Wauwatosa.
Right.
The beautiful old homes that were built by these scions of these growing businesses. They were born in 1900 or 1905.
Right.
And by 19, when you and I were young, you know, we think of those companies as being, you know, strongly established.
Right.
But most of them were maybe 40 or 45 years old or 50 years
old.
And so, you know, we can think now of companies that are 50 years old, and that only gets you back to 1972.
Sandy, and I know their archival information about all of this, and very seldom are people talking about it unless they're historians or those kinds of, people, but... You know, you're in my generation, we know that. And you know, we've seen this major change in 50 years, right?
Yeah.
And Milwaukee has redefined itself, obviously.
Well, the thing that happened, one of the things that happened to Milwaukee was very much a European-style city. The suburbs were close into the city of Milwaukee.
The Germans, the Polish.
But there wasn't a lot of sprawl.
Right.
All of the sprawl of the metro area all happened after the freeway systems went in. So the cars supplanted the streetcar. We had streetcars that created a very robust downtown. Everyone could hop on the streetcar from all of the periphery of Milwaukee County, and you could get downtown in 12 or 15 minutes on the streetcar. And every business you could conceive of was on Wisconsin Avenue or one of the cross streets. You might go to the dentist, you went downtown to the dentist.
Right.
And all of that changed when they took the streetcar out, when they put in the freeways, and people began to live in Mequon.
Right.
Ozaukee County was a long ways away until the freeway was in.
You know, interesting. And to be quite frank with you, I've enjoyed the conversation because, you know, not just because I live here, but, you know, the people in this state need to really know the history of what Milwaukee was.
Well, what Milwaukee should be, too. You know,
right.
Milwaukee's got a lot going for it, and it's definitely coming back.
Right.
I think... During the period of our early adulthood, it probably was at the nadir. It wasn't what it could be in 1980 or 85.
Right. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Sandy Williams is here. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.